Welcome again, and thank you for being with us this Sunday. As many of you know, my undergraduate degree was in psychology. And at the time, I thought psychology sounded like the sort of thing that would be a really useful degree for a pastor to have. I imagined I'd do a lot of counseling, and I will say I have done a bit, although I feel like the counseling that I've done has been more informed by my life experiences and faith in my degree. But I will say that the psychology that I studied sometimes gave me a really interesting insight into the way people think, and more importantly, the way people don't think. There's this very famous psychological experiment, and it's called the gorilla in the room. Now, the way this experiment works is you sit individuals down in a chair in front of a television set, and you tell them on the television set, you will see two groups of three people. One group is in red, one group is in blue, and each of them are playing basketball. And there is one basketball for the blue group, one basketball for the red group. All you have to do is count how many times the red team bounces the ball and how many times the blue team bounces the ball. And so people will sit down and they'll have their little tally sheets and they'll make the marks. One bounce, two bounce, three bounce, 10 bounce, 12 bounce, 20 bounce, 50 bounce. At the end of the experiment, they will ask the participants, how many times did the blue team bounce the ball? How many times did the red team bounce the ball? How many times did a gorilla wave at you? That usually catches people, because folks usually stop and look at the researcher like they're crazy and say, zero, zero times a gorilla waved at me. Now here's the fun part. If you go back and watch the video, very clearly, in behind the two teams bouncing a basketball, a fella in a gorilla suit walks across the screen, stops, looks at the camera, waves, and walks to the other side of the screen. Every single person that did this initial experiment did not see the gorilla. And I'll tell you, I was in a class where they did the experiment, and our professor gave us exactly the assignment that we thought we had, which is count the number of times the red team and the blue team bounced a basketball. And I had my numbers. And when the professor said, so how many times did you see a gorilla? I remember thinking, that's crazy. There was no gorilla. But when I watched the video back, there he was. No one in my class saw the guy in the gorilla suit. Why did none of us see such an obvious thing? And the answer is because we were looking for all the wrong things. Or at least we were looking for the things we thought we should be looking for. See, we thought we should be looking for people bouncing balls. But what we didn't know was that we should have been looking for a gorilla. And honestly, if the professor had said, when you see a gorilla wave at you, raise your hand, halfway through the video, we'd have all raised our hand because we'd have been watching for a gorilla to walk across and wave at us. So why didn't we see that? Because we weren't attending to that detail. Our brains were so focused on red team, blue team, basketball, bounce, that when a person in a gorilla suit walked across, without our knowledge, our brain went, not a blue or red team member, I don't care. Literally, we tuned out everything that wasn't the thing that we cared about. And psychologically speaking, this is a pretty good insight into how the human mind works. We tune out those things that we don't think are important. We tune out those things that we think don't matter. We don't see them. And it's not that we are uncaring. It's not that we're not curious. I mean, we all said, wait, there was a gorilla? I want to see the gorilla. It was simply the way the human brain works. We look for and see what we want to look for and see. And in that case, it wasn't a gorilla. In the gospel passage today, we have two examples of Jesus bringing healing. And in both of those examples, Jesus specifically breaks the rules of his culture. In the one, he engages with a non-Jewish person and performs a miracle for someone who is not a part of the kingdom of Israel. This is something Jesus was very unique in, because the other Jews of his community not only wouldn't have engaged with the woman, they might not have even necessarily paid attention to her. It was as though she wasn't there because she wasn't what they were looking for. She wasn't a part of their culture. She wasn't a part of their nation. She wasn't a part of their religion or faith. And so they would have very much looked past her. And then a group of people bring someone to Jesus who is both deaf and mute. And according to Jewish law, this is an individual who is unclean. And so this is another person within his culture and society that simply would have been unseeable, because he wasn't the sort of person you were supposed to interact with. In both cases, Jesus not only sees them, but interacts with them and performs miracles for them. In fact, Jesus sees things nobody else around him sees and does things nobody else around him does. And he does this because he has a different focus. See, while everybody else around him is focused on how are we good Jews, how do we follow the rules, how do we make sure that our neighbors see us as following the rules, how do we establish our righteousness through the deeds that we do, how do we focus on what we have to do in this world, Jesus's focus is on what does God want of me today, and what does God want of me in this place? How does my Father in heaven's will affect my behavior and actions? See, it wasn't that the disciples didn't care about that, but they assumed that they knew the rules. They assumed that they knew how to do this very difficult task of living within God's will, because they had this set of rules in front of them. 600 plus rules that the Jews were required to follow. And so every day you're thinking about this rule and that rule and this rule and that rule, this rule about washing your hands, that rule about how you wear your underwear, and yes, they had a rule about that. This rule about how you wove your clothing, yes, they had a rule about that. This rule about whether you have meat and milk at the same meal, and yes, they had a rule about that. And all of these rules they stayed so focused on every day of their lives, so much so that they were missing gorillas in their midst. They were missing Gentile women whose children were possessed by demons. They were missing men and women who were suffering from horrible diseases because they weren't within the rules of what you were supposed to be worried about. Jesus, on the other hand, his eyes were very open. It's very meaningful that when Jesus heals the man who could not speak, he says the word ephphatha, because that means be opened. And so Jesus is opening us up to the will of the Father, which is broader than human will. See, God wants us first and foremost to love God. Love our God in heaven with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and bodies. And the second is like it. Love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Do we have God's law to give us a guide in doing these things? Most certainly we do. And that law is very important. But it's only important so far as it's like a toolkit for doing the work of the kingdom, which is, of course, loving our God in heaven and loving our neighbors. The problem with focusing on the rules above all else is then it ceases to be the toolkit and becomes the whole point. Imagine if you went to see an automotive repairman. You're at your mechanic's place, and he has the most pristine set of tools you've ever seen in your life, polished to gleaming on pegboards, with labels and a whole box of 10 millimeter wrench heads and just everything that anyone could ever want in the most polished and pristine condition, everything in its place always. And you said, hey, I have something wrong with my car. I'd like you to fix it. And he ignored you because he was busy polishing his screwdrivers and his wrenches and rearranging his hammers and replacing all of the dusty pieces with clean ones. And never once heard you ask for help on your car. Or worse yet, sent you away because he was too busy polishing his tools. God's law is our tools for following God's will. But God's will is that we do good in this world. Now, of course, that's not where our salvation comes from. Our salvation comes from Christ alone. And because Christ has saved us and forgiven us of our sins and renewed us, we are free to now live within the Father's will. To do good, to love our Lord our God with all of our hearts, souls, and minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And yes, God's law is still there, but it's there to be a tool to help us figure out how we do the very important work of first seeing our neighbor in their trouble and seeing everyone as our neighbor. Jesus is very clear about this. And then second, going about the work of how do we figure out, using the tool set that God has given us in the scriptures, what is the best way for us to do service for our neighbors? And it can be our neighbors who are literally our neighbors, people who live across the street from us. It can be Christians who are fleeing Afghanistan. It can be people on the opposite side of the planet or people right in front of us. But God has given us this incredible tool set to do his will in this world. And as long as we don't get so focused on the tools that we forget that they're there to do a job, we can do incredible things in this world. But when we become focused on what it is that God has given us to work with, instead of what the work that God has given us to do, we become like the students who can't see the gorilla on the screen, can't see the Gentile woman with the demon-possessed child, can't see the man who is deaf and unable to speak. We can't see those people within our midst when our focus is on polishing our personal righteousness and obedience to the strictures of the law. The law is important, and it does not change, and we must use it every day of our lives, but we must use it for the task of serving the kingdom of God.